Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us once again today on the air as we go into another broadcast program of Let's Face the Issues. It is my desire to see you participate in the discussions that we have each day with the issues that we're facing in our lives, in our world, in society. And as we do so by looking at the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." He had already reminded his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, we look at issues based on the scripture, not based on a politically correct world in which we're living in. And by the way, let me remind you, you can join in the discussion. This is a question and answer dialogue discussion broadcast. It's designed for you, our listener, to participate. You can do so by calling 401-1413, 904-401-1413, and joining in the dialogue and discussion. By the way, just for a heads up, for you that tune in on a daily basis, tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll be looking at a subject, once saved, always saved, question mark. Can a person get saved and be lost? Can a person be saved and not know it? Can a person be saved without asking Jesus Christ to save him? Those are some issues theologically and biblically that I believe must be answered in the light of society today, where there is a misconception, a misunderstanding, a delusion as to what biblical salvation is all about. And some that believe that you can get saved and not know it. Some that believe that a person cannot do anything about it, that God has done it, whether you want to get saved or not. Some have the philosophy that some are going to heaven and some are going to hell because of God's predetermination and the predestination. Some say that you can be saved today, sin tomorrow, be lost the next day, and have to get saved all over again. So what does the scripture say about that? We'll have a wonderful discussion on that subject tomorrow. We look forward to you tuning in, calling your friends, relatives, and neighbors, and invite them to join in. Perhaps you have a lost friend that needs to know how to get saved. Perhaps you have a saved friend that's concerned about their eternal security and whether or not they are saved. Ask them to join in the broadcast tomorrow. They could even call in the same number you can call today, 401-1413. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about what is hate speech. Hate speech. Yes, you've heard the term. But the question is that must be asked, begs to be asked, do we still have religious freedom, the freedom of speech? What does it say about our First Amendment? Here's what the First Amendment says in our Constitution and the liberties that we have therein. The Constitution in the First Amendment says, "Congress shall make no law respecting any establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech," or abridging the freedom of speech. What does that mean? What does it mean, abridging? What does the word abridge really mean? Well, I've done a little word study for us that I will make it simple and easy for you, our listener. It means to condense. It means to cut short. It means to reduce. It means to simply shorten. So therefore, our freedom of speech is a constitutionally guaranteed liberty that government, the politics, and the politicians, the pundits, and the left liberals, our enemies of the Constitution and the republic in which we live, cannot take away. You hear what I'm saying? We have religious liberties, the freedom of speech, that the naysayers, that do not like to hear the truth, do not want to hear the truth, are trying to take away today. And they're doing it by calling some things hate speech. We're going to develop that as much as possible on this broadcast today, because we find in our society today, we're finding that many politicians and political pundits would have us to believe that there are certain things that some people are forbidden to say, and therefore they're labeling it hate speech. What better way to shut down free speech than to call some speech hate speech? You will not find that term any place in the Constitution. You will not find that term any place in the rulings and the decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court as to calling it hate speech and therefore truncating or abridging the freedom of speech. It's not in the Constitution. It's not there in any ruling. I can recall down through the years, and perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, you're up in age and you can recall it just as I can. I can recall back in the 60s and the 70s and even in the 80s and later years where some, as I call them, nitwits, if you'd excuse and pardon the saying, some of those, the Jesse Jackson and the Al Sharpton ilk and others, the Malcolm X and others, that would make some speeches, even as some are doing today, I literally found disgusting speeches. Nevertheless, I never considered that they should not have the liberty and the right to say so. You know, we live in a society today where the first thing that the opposing view wants to charge you with is hate speech, that you're saying that because you hate me, that along with the term racist. You're either hate speech or you're racist. You're hate speech or you're racist. Any category that you want to talk about, anything that the conservatives, the Christians, the moral ethical majority of society today, anything the moral ethical majority in society wants to say today, there is an attempt to shut it down, to shut it up, to truncate it, to abridge it, to make it be something that becomes illegal by calling it hate speech. The so-called rappers today use lyrics in their so-called music. I don't find anything music about it with the rappers. But they demean women, Jews, Christians, white people. And all of this is said to be free speech. Why is it that a rapper can demonize, marginalize, diss, as it is called, anything that's called conservatism and Christianity and our Jewish people, and in particular today it's becoming more popular, white people, and especially more specific, white males in America, where they can be demeaned in the jargon that's called lyrics and it's called free speech. But when it comes to a Christian, can it listen, ladies and gentlemen? By the way, this is Dr. Youngblood. You're listening to Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about today what is hate speech. And when you understand that even on public radio and television in Canada, a preacher cannot read Romans chapter 1 and 2 on the air. Just reading the text in Romans dealing with the sodomites, the sodomite lifestyle that God's given them over to a reprobate mind, just reading the scripture. Not preaching it, just reading it. It's considered hate speech. And we are finding more and more of those, quote, laws trying to be implemented in America today. I find it sad that when you find the attempt to silence the conservatives and the Christians and the moral majority in our nation and trying to truncate it, cut it off, and abridge free speech by calling it hate speech. I believe we have a caller on the line. Greg, go ahead with your question or comment or join in the dialogue and discussion.
Dr. Youngblood, it's just amazing to me. Governments ought to be held to the free speech standard that we find in the Constitution, but somehow or another, over and over, states and municipalities are moving towards censoring free speech and, that they deem offensive or hateful. These governments are no longer neutral. They've definitively engaged, and for the most part, they're engaged on the side of leftist ideology, and they use that to shut down their what they perceive as their political adversaries. California and New York have recently adopted penalties for the use of improper pronouns. They see that as a protection for transgender people. But how's a person to know that a man dressed like a woman walking down the street wants to be referred to as ma'am? And should government punish noncompliance? You know, when one person fails to reinforce another person's psychosis, is that something that we ought to be punished for? I mean, it's everything seems to be upside down and backwards today.
Well, this is the reason, Greg, I'm glad you said that, and hang on the line and let's have some further discussion on that. That's the reason we find in the Old Testament text in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's in the 5th chapter, where it talks about right will be called wrong, wrong will be called right. I simply elongate on that and paraphrase that. White will be called black will be called white, day will be called night, and night will be called day. And so that's the society in which we live. But you're exactly on target, where it's where governmental entities are trying to make a determination as to the direction that society is to go based on their own left bending and the leadership that they feel that needs to be imposed on society today. So therefore, we find there must be a line of demarcation for the Christian. So what do you think is the answer of what is called hate speech and why it's being Christians and conservatives being marginalized in society by being demeaned with you're just a racist or you just hate speech? What do we do? What's the answer?
Well, I don't have a short answer. I believe this is a battle. I mean, there's a war going on, and there are so many battlefronts in this war. And it's not just government bureaucrats that seem to choose sides, which is not what they are to do. I mean, we see a lot of that going on right now in the swamp and the Justice Department and all the chaos going on with Mueller's investigation. They're no longer neutral arbiters. They have become engaged, and again, mostly on the left. And I mean, we see things, whether it's the core government or the extraneous, your college campuses, UC Berkeley and other colleges, they systematically shut down speakers that they don't agree with. Milo Yiannopoulos, he's an interesting character. They put him mostly on the right. Ann Coulter, they shut down those speeches, and people literally rolled out and destroyed parts of college campuses, and there was no response. No response by law enforcement. They were allowed to run like rabid animals, and you know, all under the guise of they're shutting down what they consider hate speech. These same folks will embrace a socialist, a communist, an atheist, but however, you know, when a conservative or a Christian stands to speak, they are involved in hate speech. But then it crosses, to me, it crosses outside of your government and your pseudo government, and it crosses into the private sector. Today, James O'Keefe exposed in Twitter's what they call show banning and other forms of censorship at Twitter. He did this in a Veritas production, but his shadow banning, if you say something these leftist folks disagree with and you put it out to a Twitter tweet, if you will, they'll make sure that folks don't see it. So you don't know that you've been banned. They just don't distribute your content. So
yes,
Systematically, they're muzzling, and now you see it with mega companies. Google and YouTube are doing the same sort of things, banning folks like Dennis Prager with Prager University. He does these educational videos, and because he's a conservative commentator, because he is a historian, because he is a constitutionalist, they shut down his content. They make it either unavailable, they block it, or they no longer pay for the content that he provides because it's content that they don't agree with.
Yes. In fact, I have said for quite some time now, hate speech, of course, by the way, let me just read you a little dialogue that someone had in print debating hate speech. They said, hate speech is speech that offends, threatens, or insults people based on race, color, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, disability, and or other traits. They have determined that anything that the conservative, moral, ethical majority happens to say would be fitting into that category. For example, Greg, hate speech in today's society would be anything where you're telling the truth about Islam. It'd be called hate speech. Tell the truth about abortion. It's hate speech. Tell the truth about LGBT, the sodomite group. It's hate speech. You tell the truth about Black Lives Matter. It's hate speech. If you tell the truth about telling people that they're going to hell without Jesus, it's hate speech. If you tell the truth about the society and the socialist governmental system that's trying to come into our system of government today, it's called hate speech. And if that's the case, Greg, and ladies and gentlemen listening, Jesus Christ in Matthew 23 and following would have been labeled a hate speecher, because he says unto them that they're scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, they're whited sepulchers, they're filthy, wretched, lost people. And he would have been called one giving hate speech. Greg, I appreciate so much your position on that, and thank you for your call and your dialogue and discussion. I pray that it's edifying and inspirational, beneficial to our listening audience. Thank you so much for your call, and I pray you'll have a blessed day. We have another listener on the line. If you would, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
First call, the wonderful comments he made, and then make a second point at the end, if you have time to permit that.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
The first is simply based on 1 John 5:19. This is called calling it what it is. That verse says, and there's a little conflict over the translation, but I think the proper one from the King James is simply this: we're of God, but the whole world lies in the sway of the evil one. We've got to understand that everything out there in the world is demonic, and we're fighting against it. And one of the manifestations in human history in the last 150 years has been the manifestation of Satan through Marxism. Everything that's happening right now in America is an evolution of a neo-Marxism that says there is no God, man is control, we have this system in which we will make one wonderful great world where everything is going to be good. Well, the Bible tells us that Satan is going to do that eventually. But one of the things I'd like to point out is that in Isaiah chapter 5, there are six woes that are given. All those six woes discuss the culture that has been derived in America under the direct influence of Marxism with its demonic roots. But the fourth one is the big one. It's what we're talking about right now on your program, and that is the specific one that says, woe to those that make good evil and evil good. One of the marks of Satanism, which is really what Marxism is the inversion of the natural order of things, making light dark and dark light. Of course, the inverted pentagram would be an example of that, or the inverted cross that the Satanists use. But Marxism is destroying America. Satan is using Marxism to destroy America. And one of the tenets of Marxism is to replace the truth with a lie. So that's why history is being revised. That is why these groups are coming out and accusing, let's say, older white males who are responsible for the liberties, mostly, that this nation enjoys. We have made some very bad choices in the past, but there are sinful people. But we are not focusing on the incredible good that has been done in this country by men who are our forefathers, who look sort of like me, gray hair and white skin. And God has used, for whatever his reasons, European people to be the folks that have been the engine for driving this culture of America that has taken the gospel to the ends of the world. So to make this quick and summarize, it is Satan working through Marxism to tear down America by tearing down the religious faith, for making light dark and dark light, truth for the lie. It's killing us. What do we do in response? That's the second part. That's what you've asked. Here's the first step I think we need to do. The people listening to your radio broadcast today, the only ones I think who would be listening other than just happen to be passing on the dial, are those who know something isn't right. Light has been replaced for dark. We need to get a feel for how many people are out there, whether it's 2 or 3 or it's 100. So I'm asking the people in your listening audience simply to and you give the address, I think it's 12021 Old St. Augustine Road in Jacksonville.
Correct.
Write a letter or a postcard. We want to use the old-fashioned way, not electronics. The old-fashioned way. Write in and say, we listen to you, Dr. Youngblood, and we appreciate what you're saying. Or they don't appreciate things, say that. Don't have to give your name. Don't have to give your address. Just do something like T. Smith or J.W. or something like that, just so that we know people out there are listening. We have a good idea. Then we need to begin to suggest to those people who understand something isn't right, light is being replaced for dark, we need to begin drawing those people into a central source to train them, to explain to them exactly what is going on. I think you have a facility to do that, Pastor, right there. I think we need to draw people in and let them hear the truth that the darkness has been replacing in our culture. And then the third thing that we need to do is to commit together, as our forefathers did, to pledge our lives and our fortunes in order to push back against the darkness. It's not an option for us. In my heart, I believe it's a reality. I know the previous caller understands that. So we need to understand what we're dealing with, Satan working through Marxism. We need to identify those who belong to us. I want to find out how many are out in your audience. I'd love to know that, say, within the next 7 days. I'd like to make sure we issue an invitation to bring people into a place where they can be instructed in the truth, because the truth is very scarce right now. And then lastly, to commit ourselves together to stand up and to push back against the darkness. That's all I got to say. We appreciate your patience.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for those comments. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he's exactly right. In fact, over in the Isaiah text where it talks about the woe, I call it the woe chapter in the fifth chapter of Isaiah, the word woe translated from the Hebrew text simply means calamity. It's God's pronouncing calamity upon those that will say these things, reverse inversion of what is the truth. And our last caller is exactly right in relationship to where we stand. It's the Marxist socialist element, which is a demonically driven mentality and mindset and ideology that's trying to tear down and destroy the warp and the woof. That means actually the fabric of America. Because if you can destroy the family, if you can destroy Christianity, if you can mute and silence the voices of the moral, ethical majority in America, you can destroy our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, it is important. So let's ask a question in these last few minutes that we have. Let's ask a very serious question. So what is hate speech? Is it constitutional? Yes, the freedom of speech is not to be truncated or abridged or denied. But may I remind us, there are some folks out there in discussion in relationship to the free speech. Here's one that says, there's no hate speech exception in the First Amendment. That's exactly right. And the article reads starting this way. I keep hearing about the proposed hate speech exceptions to the First Amendment or statements such as, this isn't free speech, it's hate speech, or when does free speech stop and hate speech begin? But there's no hate speech exception in the First Amendment. Hateful ideas, whatever exactly that might mean, are just as protected under the First Amendment as other ideas. One is as free to condemn Islam, Muslims or Jews or blacks or whites, illegal aliens and native-born citizens, as one is to condemn capitalism or socialism or democracy or the republic. Free speech has some minute limitations. For example, the courts have ruled that free speech does not include standing in a packed elevator and screaming fire. You can't do that because of the injury or harm to someone else in immediate cause and effect. But ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as hate speech. In fact, it is protected, although the mayor of Portland, Oregon says it's not. Here's an article that says hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment. According to the Portland mayor, he says it's wrong. He goes on and talks about how hate speech cannot be condoned, it must be condemned. And he goes on to say, as his city mourns the two men who were killed after confronting a man screaming anti-Muslim slurs, Mayor Ed Wheeler is calling federal officials to block what he calls the alt-right demonstrations from happening in downtown Portland. He's using the premise that there is a law condemning hate speech that he is now preventing anybody from having free speech that counters with the socialist Marxist agenda of his city. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in deep, deep, deep trouble when we think that there is a condition or that somehow there is a way to truncate or to abridge the freedom of speech. It doesn't exist. All social media today are systematically censoring. I believe Greg, our caller just a few minutes ago, talked about social media and what they're doing. We need to understand that, ladies and gentlemen. What we're finding is through the social media, that is Facebook, Twitter, Google, Yahoo, Snapchat, et cetera, et cetera. All of these social media outlets or mechanisms are following the agenda of the socialist Marxist agenda that wants to quiet, to squelch, to abridge the free speech of the moral, ethical, Christian conservatives in America today. There's a brand new law in Germany today, a brand new law that absolutely makes free speech hate speech. And there's an opposition to that. Here's an article that says, German opposition calls for the abolition of the online hate speech law. In the article, it says, so far, Twitter has deleted any reference to anti-Muslim and anti-migrant posts by the far right. Alternative for Germany, the AID, and also blocked any other remarks or statements in relationship to what they call hate speech. Here's the article that talks about that. Brand new online hate speech law snares its first victim. Freedom of free speech has been effectively abolished online in Germany as the company has begun to enforcing strict censorship laws designed to prohibit the expression of hate speech online. Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram are among the sites which fall under the purview of the new law. The fine for failing to delete illegal content can be as high as 50 million euros in Germany. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I understand, and you understand, we're not Germany. But I want us to understand what we have today is the encroaching of the religious liberties and the freedom of speech via the liberal movement out there that's controlling the mindset and the philosophy and the ideology of these online, media organizations, Facebook, Twitter, Google, Yahoo, Snapchat, et cetera, et cetera. May I remind us, if you don't believe this, you try sending an email to somebody. I don't care what source of email you use. Try sending an email with the subject line, something to the effect, Islam is evil, or the Sodomite lifestyle is wicked. And you see if that goes through. It'll pop back most times, and it will not go through. You take the subject line off and say something in a palatable form, and that email will go through. It's because through the algorithm that's being utilized, they're systematically deleting from any movement through the social media today anything that would be viewed as hate speech by them. But it is free speech by you and by me, the free citizens of America. Germany, as I said, is now openly through social media disallowing all that's called hate speech. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that Twitter is now complying with that. Google and Yahoo is complying with that. And it's not been publicly acknowledged, but they're complying with that mandate, that ideology in America today. In fact, here's a statement by Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. It says, today in the United States of America, Christians are being vilified, fined, and even jailed solely because of they hold a pro-faith viewpoint. Business is being shut down, livelihoods threatened, and Christians are being told to submit or quit. And that's being pushed through social media today to try to take away your religious liberty and my religious liberty for the free speech in America today. So, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you'll be going before God in prayer, asking God to give you wisdom, and listen very carefully. As Christians, moral, ethical people, we need to stand up, speak up, be seen, come out of the closet, and take a stand for our liberties that God has given us through His Word. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to the broadcast as we meet once again on the air as we face the issues on tomorrow.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.